Perhaps the most sorrowful chapters of the passion and death of Jesus Christ is that his apostles had forsaken him. The apostles, who were his constant companions and closer to him than anyone else, save the most blessed Virgin Mary, all abandoned him in his hour of need. Judas Iscariot, whom our Lord loved and even sought to save by his gentleness, nonetheless was filled with such anger towards him that he sold Christ to his enemies. And now, in the midst of the torments of hell, Judas will forever bear the title the traitor. But then there was Peter, the chief and the head of the apostles. And Peter would deny Christ. He would do this even though our Lord had warned him not a few short hours before. But despite that warning, Peter even boasted that he would never do such a thing. The others might, he said, but not him. St. Matthew writes of this, "Then Jesus saith to them, all of you shall be scandalized in me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be dispersed. And Peter answering said to him, although all shall be scandalized in thee, I will never be scandalized. And Jesus saith to him, amen, I say to thee, that in this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter again saith to him, yea, though I should die with thee, I will not deny thee. And thus, my dear people, filled with a great presumption and a false confidence, Peter proceeded to Gethsemane with our Savior. Now, when Jesus entered the Garden of Gethsemane, he told eight of the apostles to sit near the entrance while he went to pray. He instructed them to pray lest they enter into temptation. He then took Peter, James, and John with him to another place in the garden. And as he did, he said to them, my soul is sorrowful even unto death. Stay you here and watch with me. Christ thus told them to watch and pray. He then withdrew from them. He withdrew about a stone's throw distance. He knelt, he began to pray, and his sacred passion commenced. And crushed by the weight of mortal sins and overwhelmed by the indifference of men, he fell flat to the ground. He prayed to his eternal Father, all things are possible, he said. All things, Father, are possible to thee. If thou wilt, remove this chalice from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Now you have to understand that this was not a request to avoid his passion and death. For our divine Savior knew there was no other way to save us and to win our hearts. He is the same Jesus who once said, I have a baptism wherewith I am to be baptized, and how straitened I am till it be accomplished. And that baptism was his passion and death. According to one priest, Christ said these words to express how he felt and to manifest to us the magnitude of his suffering. He longed to die on the cross for us. But it was after this first prayer that he arose from his place, and he went to where he left Peter, James, and John. And when he found them, they were asleep. He awakened them. Simon, the gentle voice of Christ said, "Sleepest thou? Could you not watch 1 hour with me?" And again he issued that great spiritual instruction to them, a spiritual instruction and direction not only for the apostles, but for all who would follow him even till the end of time. "Watch ye and pray that ye enter not into temptation." Watch and pray. Our Lord then withdrew, and he began to pray again. And after a while he rose and went again to Peter, James, and John, and again they were asleep. He awakened them only when Judas had arrived with his enemies. "Arise," he said to them, "let us go. He who will betray me is at hand." Going out to meet them, our Lord asked, "Whom seek ye?" And this crowd of temple police, servants of the high priests, Roman soldiers, all led by Judas, answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Our Lord said to them, "I am he." And when he said these words, this enormous crowd, and even Judas himself, who stood with them, they were driven back, and St. John the Apostle says, they fell to the ground. And thus did our Lord manifest to them his divinity, and let them know that they could not in any way take hold of him unless he first allowed it. But at length he permitted them to lay their hands upon him, but only after he had first secured the safety of his apostles and had rebuked them for their wickedness, declaring to them that this was indeed their hour and the power of darkness. And thus was our divine Savior betrayed in Gethsemane by Judas, and then delivered into the hands of his enemies, who seized him and bound him. Now Peter and some of the other apostles at first put up a fight to defend Christ. They drew swords. Peter, in fact, cut off the ear of the servant of the high priest. But Christ rebuked them and told them to put their swords in their place. And after this, the apostles fled. But as Jesus was being led to the house of the high priest, Peter did follow at a distance. He did truly love Christ. He entered the courtyard of the high priest, and there in the courtyard, Peter would deny Christ three times. His first denial is thought to have been around 1 o'clock in the morning. This denial was made to the portress, the woman who let him into the courtyard. She accused him to the others that he was one of Christ's disciples. To which accusation Peter answered, "Woman, I know him not." And it was not long after that a certain maidservant happened to come near the fire where Peter was gathered with the enemies of Christ. She looked at him. "This man," she said, pointing to Peter, "this man also was with Jesus of Nazareth. He is one of them." But Peter again denied. This time, the evangelists tell us, he denied with an oath, "I know not the man." That is to say, he swore that he did not know Christ. It's interesting to note that as Peter was then denying under oath that he did not know Christ, our Lord was declaring under oath that he was the Son of the living God. And for this, our Lord was condemned to death by the Jews. He was then mocked, he was beaten, he was spit upon. But you know, this cruel treatment at the hands of his enemies caused our divine Savior less pain than the treatment by which he was the victim at the hands of his friends, and most especially the denials of Peter. The third and final denial of Peter occurred around 2 o'clock. Peter was still in the courtyard. He had walked away from the fire, but it was so cold, he returned to that same fire and began warming himself in the company of the enemies of Christ. And at some point, he was approached by one of the servants of the high priest who was actually present at the arrest of Christ. He recognized Peter as one of Christ's disciples. He said to the men standing around the fire, "Of a truth, this man is one of his disciples. Did I not see thee," saying to Peter, "in the garden with him? And art thou a Galilean? For thy speech doth betray thee." Peter, now filled with fear and consumed by anger, began to curse and swear that he did not know Christ. And it was then that the cock crowed a second time. And as it did, the guards came forth with Jesus bound, leading him through the courtyard into a prison cell, where he would be kept till the morning. And it was at that very moment, as St. Luke writes in his Gospel, that Peter turned from his accusers and saw Christ, whose bleeding face and head were visible as he looked at Peter. their eyes met. Or St. Luke says, the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And as Peter looked into the piercing eyes of Christ, St. Luke says he remembered the word of the Lord. How Christ had said to him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And going out, St. Luke says, he wept bitterly. How, my dear friends, we may ask, how was it possible that the Prince of the Apostles, the chief of the Apostolic College, the rock upon which Christ would build his church, how should he be vanquished by the prying question of a lowly maidservant? It is really not a mystery. It's really not a mystery if we examine the causes of Peter's fall. For then we can understand how this tragedy happened. First of all, Peter was filled with self-confidence. That is to say, he trusted in himself excessively. He trusted in himself rather than in God. And my dear friends, this is always the formula for spiritual disaster. It is a sin against the supernatural virtue of hope. When Christ warned Peter about this at the Last Supper, Peter ignored this, and he even boasted, I will lay down my life for thee. Lord, he said, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. He was ready, he said, to go to prison and to death for Christ. But our Lord knew better. He told Peter and even warned all the apostles who were there listening. All of you, he said, shall be scandalized in me this night. But he especially warned Peter. He said to him, Amen. And any time our Lord used that word, Amen, it was most serious. Amen, I say to thee, Peter. Today, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But even at these words, so full of self-confidence, Peter answers our Lord, Yea, though I should die with thee, I will not deny thee. This, my dear friends, is the language of presumption, a sin against the virtue of hope. It is a presumption born of pride and a lack of confidence in God. For Peter should have answered Christ, Lord, thou knowest that without thee I am nothing. Do thou in thy goodness and mercy preserve me from such evil. But alas, he did not. And the pride and the presumption of Peter was the beginning of his great downfall. In fact, the pride of Peter was so great that it led to his neglect of prayer. He neglected to pray, and he failed to watch as our Lord had warned him. And he did this because he relied upon himself, and thus he fell. The fall of Peter, my dear friends, is a lesson for us all. If we put our trust and confidence in the strength and mercy of God, and if we watch and pray, God will deliver us in our weakness. But if we place ourselves in the occasion of sin, whether that occasion be a person, a place, or some material thing, if we place ourselves in such an occasion, we will most certainly fall. Because in doing such things, we disobey Christ, as did Peter when our Lord said to him, "Watch." To watch, then, to watch means to be careful. It means to avoid all free occasions of mortal sin. And to this watchfulness, my dear people, to this care must be added prayer. Watch and pray, our Lord said. Watch and pray. He said these words to Peter. He said these words to the apostles. He says these same words to us, my dear friends. Watch and pray. We must then pray and persevere in praying in time of temptation. We must watch and pray. But Peter did learn his lesson. Peter learned his lesson. He turned to Christ and loved him with his whole heart. Unlike Judas, whose pride, whose shame, and whose self-love drove him to take his own life, Peter's love for Christ drove him to Jesus. It was a love that brought tears of true repentance to his eyes. You know, there is a venerable tradition that so great was Peter's love and repentance that for the rest of his life, until his crucifixion upside down in Rome on the Vatican Hill, each time Peter heard a cock crow, he shed tears so copiously that the tears in time created furrows in his face. Let us then learn from St. Peter the lesson of true humility. Let us learn from him the necessity of prayer in time of temptation. Let us learn from him the absolute importance of avoiding the occasions of sin. And finally, let us learn from him the great confidence that we can have in the mercy and the forgiveness of Christ, who will always forgive those who come to him and humbly and sincerely confess their sins.